Today's sponsor is Audible. Visit audiblepodcast.com/dolce for a free audiobook download. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Mike Dolce Show. It is episode 87. Crank it along here. June 1st, bitches. You know what that means. It means it's time to shed those clothes and expose that summer body. Boom. Are you summer body ready? Well, I've been talking about this shit since January 1st of 1976. Or 7, because I was born in April of 76. I guess I wasn't. I was kind of talking about it.
You came out talking.
I came out talking. Representing, throwing up gang signs.
Yeah,
living lean, bitches.
Living lean gang signs.
All 11 pounds, 8 ounces of my fat ass.
Yeah, you're big. Your mom still. Every time.
Beefcake.
Yeah, beefcake.
I was up on that shit doing squats in there. Deadlifts.
Yeah.
Deadlifts since day one.
Your poor mother.
Negative 9 months deadlifting. It's June 1st, everybody. What are you doing to improve your health? That's the question. Question of the day. How are you getting better? Are you getting better? Did you put your goals first? Did you set action steps? Have you been accountable to those action steps? Are you achieving goals? Can you take off your shirt right now?
Yes.
Yes. Do it.
No. Mr. Inappropriate.
Me? No.
Yeah.
Will you be the first one at the pool with your shirt off in your bikini? Can you? Let's go to the pool, everybody. Oh, no. And the fear sets in. We're going to go to the beach. We're going to go outdoor picnic. We're going to go swimming. And the fear sets in. 2/3 of the population. Oh, no. I don't want to have to take my shirt off. Fuck. I have to get a one-piece bathing suit. Oh, no. Maybe I can pretend that I have some sort of skin allergy so I don't have
There's some really cute one-piece bathing suits. FYI, really cute. In fact, if you go and you look at Victoria's Secret, they have all these, like, cutouts and stuff. But they're going to give you the most horrific tan lines. I don't know how ladies get them.
Yeah, well, and ladies, that's fine. You're allowed to wear one-piece.
Men aren't. What's a one-piece bathing suit for a man look like? Like 1920s?
Like a wrestling singlet.
Yeah, like 1920s.
So yeah, you can go. You can roll up to the beach in your wrestling singlet, guys.
Quick story. My grandma was like allergic to bathing suit material. I forget what it was. I think they had to find her like a wool bathing suit or something that wasn't made of wool back in like 1930s when she was going to the beach, and her mom said she had a hell of a time trying to find her a bathing suit. But how funny is that? Thank God we don't have to wear wool bathing suits anymore.
Could you imagine the discomfort?
That'd be itchy. All that salt, sand, and wool.
But the goal is, everybody, let's get on board. Because I don't want to see no pasty, chubby, gross, unconfident people at the beach. Now, you don't have to be ripped. You don't have to be lean in order to be sexy, in order to be confident. In order to be making improvement, making progress, that's what it's about. You must be better this summer than you were last summer and the summer before. You must be better. Every day that we're here on this planet, you must be better, because if you're not better, you're fucking up. And don't fuck it up. Don't mess it up. Come on. Every day is a new chance. It's a new opportunity to be better. That's it. So if you miss that opportunity, shame on you. We have all the information to give you. I mean, you can listen to the Mike Dolce Show. You can take a look at all of our books and products. We have given you all the information you need to be better. Now it's up to you to do it. Are you actually doing it? That's the question. Remember, 2014 is the year I put my foot up your ass. Boom. How's it feel with those size 12s up there? Not too comfortable, does it? I'll only extract my big old man boot.
I'm going to throw up.
Once you get your shit in gear, it's amazing. People still come up to me every day and they're like, do I have to eat vegetables? Do I really have to eat vegetables?
You're a man boot.
Boom, and I put my foot up their ass. Arr, shut up.
Man boot.
I don't like vegetables. I don't like them. Do I have to eat them? Shut the fuck up. Get away from me. You know what?
Yeah.
Just stop breathing. How about oxygen? Do you hate oxygen? I hate the taste of oxygen. It's just so difficult, so hard. Just breathe constantly. It's a pain in the ass. Stop breathing, dude. Please. Do us all a favor. Just stop. Here. Here's a pack of cigarettes. Go breathe into those for a few hours. I don't really say that, but that's what I'm thinking. So don't come at me with those questions anymore, everybody. I don't like vegetables. Do I have to work out? I'm so busy. I'm too busy. I work 8 hours, 5 days a week. And boy, when I get home, I'm tired. I deserve to sit on the couch for 4 to 6 hours and just be lazy and fat and unmotivated and self-loathing and ignore my family and have no social life and no hobbies and no external pursuits. I am not interested in self-improvement at all. I'm just so tired. I'm too busy. I'm too busy to be better. Cool. Sit on your couch and wait to die. Leave us alone. That's the answer. That's the only answer. That's the best answer. There is no other way to do it other than to get your ass up and get moving. Plan your meals. Eat properly. Eat delicious, delicious foods. Go to my Instagram at the Dolce Diet and take a look at my breakfast today. The breakfast bowl is a masterpiece. It was delicious. I went to bed last night thinking about it. Oh, I can't wait to wake up and ravage my breakfast bowl.
Michelangelo.
Yes. And right now I'm sipping on my caveman coffee with coconut. Not coconut butter. With coconut oil.
I'm like, what's
butter,
that?
And butter in my mind. With coconut oil. And my brain is firing. My energy is through the roof. I feel amazing. And my abs are popping. Brandy and I, we're going to go to T-Bones tonight at the Red Rock Casino in Las Vegas. Yeah, we actually go out to eat. And we're going to get grass-fed steaks because they sell grass-fed steaks there. And we're going to get sweet potatoes and Brussels sprouts and cauliflower and grilled asparagus.
Oh, their cauliflower? Holy moly.
Holy moly.
It's like candy.
Speaking of candy, thank God this is not a Smell-O-Vision podcast. Otherwise, you would be treated to the effervescent aroma of Zoe Dolce's dog farts.
Oh, did she?
It is terrible.
I was wondering what you were looking at. You were like looking around like you're about to be attacked.
like the Cylons are coming.
The Cylons. Oh, you're into BSG now. Mike is finally into Battlestar Galactica. I'm so excited because now we can have nerd conversations together.
Yes. And it's awesome. I'm hooked. Battlestar Galactica has got me. I'm in season 2 now, episode 3. Brandy's been talking about it for at least a year or two.
Yeah.
The last trip I was on with Nick Lentz, I don't even know what city that was. That was like 2 weeks ago.
Cincinnati.
He was talking about it, so I was like, all right, there we go. So
wait,
I jumped
so it took it. Lentz?
Well, it was like he co-signed on it. Because there's a lot of series that you watch.
I need a co-signer.
Well, a lot of series you watch are good for you. And I try and get into them and my brain just melts out my ear.
Like what?
Like the Australian Ladies on Horseback.
McLeod's Daughters? That's different. That's not for you. Australian Ladies on Horseback.
Like pining away for men that they'll never get. Like
they get them.
That series just did my head and I tried.
Did you?
And the show, the one that you're watching right now, the BBC.
Okay,
the
I would never expect you to watch that.
Old poor English ladies trying to marry off young daughters.
All right.
That's what I'm naming that one.
It's in the subtlety. The thrill is in the subtlety of the conversation, of the actions. You have to look into it further.
That's what I'm... So when you were talking about BSG, I was like, oh, God. And I pictured the old school one. Which, you know, I remember as a kid being like, that's not going to do it for me. I need something a little more fast-paced. So, the modern age Battlestar Galactica, it is pretty good. I enjoy it.
All right, good.
High pace, good energy. So, we're going to jump in right away with a couple quick questions. And then we have a special guest on the show today. Who will? Well, you already know. So, it's not like I'm teasing you right now because you're not quite listening live. Well, we're going to post it.
Yeah, that's true.
Or should we just say special guest?
Well, there's questions coming in.
We posted it. Mr. Dwayne Bang Ludwig will be on the show today. World-class coach, just coming off his championship performance with TJ Dillashaw, who beat the reigning bantamweight champion, Henan Barao. And that was a hotly contested lead-up to this match because you had Dwayne Ludwig versus Andre Pederneiras. Andre Pederneiras is one of the greatest coaches in MMA history, the coach of Jose Aldo and Henan Barao and a team of other killers. Dwayne and Andre went head-to-head in the Coach of the Year nominations this year for the Fighters Only World MMA Awards. Bang won that. And there was a little bit of, what should be the word? Not controversy. I didn't feel it was controversial just based on what Dwayne had done with his stable, how far his athletes had jumped in that short period of time. They went on like an 18-0 win streak, some crazy number, Dwayne O'Fillison. Both top-notch coaches. So like that was – it was like the showdown of these two great coaches, and Dwayne went out there, and TJ absolutely just shut Head and Brow down.
And TJ was an underdog.
Huge underdog.
Yeah.
He's a young kid coming off the Ultimate Fighter 2 years ago or so. Hadn't really been tested in international competition. He steps into his first ever five-round fight against Head and Brow, who hadn't lost a fight in like 6 years, was like on like a 35-fight win streak, some absurd number, and destroying everyone. He destroyed Uriah Faber in like a minute, under a round. Destroyed absolutely everybody he fought and made it look easy.
I didn't realize that.
And Dillashaw goes out there and destroys Brow, drops him in the first round, darn near chokes him out, and just beats him silly. Where Pettinari said Brow came back to the corner. He didn't know where he was. He didn't know what was happening in the fight. And he just kept going out there and getting beat up even more. And it's no disrespect to Andre or to Hennen. It's just how good TJ is, but how good he was on that night.
And that extreme talent, you know, of TJ Dillashaw meeting the extreme talent of Coach of the Year, I should say, Dwayne Bang Ludwig.
And that's exactly it. So you get an amazing world-class coach like Dwayne to pull that talent, the potential talent, out of an athlete like Dillashaw. And it's just great. So we're going to get Dwayne on here soon and talk about that. But first, we're going to rattle off a couple questions.
Here's a good question. I mean, summer's coming. I mean, okay, yeah, you should probably be able to, like, rip out those abs year-round. But Jimmy Schaefer wants to know, some people say you should treat abs just like every other muscle and use heavy resistance when training them. Is this true?
Yes, it is true. The difference in abs, and abs are a high endurance muscle. Your abs are involved in almost every activity you do, whether it's sitting down on the toilet, it's walking up the stairs, it's cooking in your kitchen. Your abs are being activated. So you have to train your abs in a multitude of ways. I like lots of rotational work for my abs, where basically, you know, you're grabbing a pulley or a rock or a kettlebell that's on the outside of your left foot. And you're taking it and you're lifting up across your body, and then you're going to point it like an arrow above at a 45-degree angle above your right shoulder and let it swing back down to the ground and back up again. That's rotational work. Or inclined board sit-ups where, you know, you're touching opposite elbow to opposite knee. That's a good one. You know, hanging Roman chair leg raises where you're actually like doing a running man instead of just two legs at a time. Those are just good little ab options. Although I like to train my abs with heavier weight in the 10 to 15 rep range, and just for multiple sets, multiple angles. And we train our abs every day. So that's the thing with the abs being a high endurance muscle. You need to train them every day, every day, every day. Every time you train, you need to train your abs. It doesn't always have to be super heavy. It doesn't have to be a super lot of sets. You need to touch it every day with a different resistance, a different modality, a different methodology. So your abs are always having to adapt in advance.
Would you consider my chair an ab training device?
Yes.
I'm sitting on a ball chair from Isokinetics right now. It's red. It matches my office.
We'll take a photo of it and post it so people can see. And Brandy, she sits at the desks, you know, 8, 10, 12 hours a day sometimes, just
24.
Grinding away.
I never leave.
Because I got the handcuffs in
there. Like Marley with the chains.
Get to work. How long I gotta wait?
He does say that.
That's right.
Help
a Raging
me,
Bull reference. But, you know, her sitting in traditional chairs, and we have nice Herman Miller chairs, you know, in our offices. And mine's, I like sitting in mine, but I'm only in mine, you know, short periods of time. I'm up and active quite a bit. I'm not grinding down on the keyboard, you know, more than an hour or so at a time. Where Brandy, she's sitting all day long. And, you know, she was having back issues. She was having posture issues. She was having some, you know, inner ab issues. And we decided to get her, what's it called, the Kinetic chair?
Isokinetics. I think Gaiam makes them too. But Isokinetics had the ball in red, which matches a painting in my office. So, Mike's glazing over. But ladies, you know what I mean. Come on.
So what? It's a stability ball. And that's the base of the chair, and then it has a, you know, a steel frame that wraps around it, and it comes up and it has this little, you know, back cushion.
I'll post it on our site with a link.
And how do you feel since getting the chair?
I feel amazing, but it's this chair in combination with the workout routine that we've been doing. Mike's got me back into strength training. So
finally,
yeah, and strengthening my back. I didn't realize how weak my back muscles were And now, I mean, to bend over and like pick up a gallon of water was just like so painful for me. So we've been doing just a series of regular weight training stuff. Nothing absolutely incredible or special, but it's the series that Mike put me through.
Well, it's squats and deadlifts and it's walking weighted lunges.
That's what I'm saying.
It's bent over rows, barbell and dumbbell. It's
all good stuff.
Pull downs and low cable rows and lots of incline pressing.
But it's the way you lay it out that's really amazing.
I'm a genius.
Like the supersets and everything. So that was good. And I feel so much better.
So there we go. Ladies, and we training side by side. So again, on my Instagram account, there's some photos of us training and even little videos.
Mike hates my gym jokes.
Well, no, because in the gym, you have to be serious. You have to be focused.
But I like to have fun.
You can have fun by achieving goals where you break it up. And it's not fun for me when
I'm what?
Not into the workout.
I'm
like,
into
it. This is going to be too heavy for me.
I said that once yesterday because the first one, I was like, oh my God, that's
so
heavy.
And what
happened? Well, I did it, but it was.
Exactly.
Well, I'm allowed to have feelings.
I have feelings too. I know. Holy shit, this is going to be fucking heavy.
Yeah, well, I'm allowed to say
it. Fuck you, wait. I'm going to attack your ass. Boom.
If you don't stop, I'm going to come up with more like romantic Roman names for you.
See? Like, so that's what I'm trying to – now that Brandy's in the
look,
gym, she's
cut
doing
me off,
the,
I can't say
she's
it.
She's doing the motions. Now we need her to get the mentality in there so we can maximize the time in the gym. Because every additional muscle fiber we're able to activate, that means more progress.
I was maximizing my time. I was lifting as I said it.
And if you're able to talk while you're training, well, then you're –
I was like, this is heavy.
All right. So next question.
All right. Fine. Philip Carinja says – what are the top 5 exercises to put on full body muscle mass? Oh, you just mentioned some.
Top 5 exercises. The deadlift.
Yeah.
The squat. The bent over row. The chin up. And the push up. Now, why do I say the push up instead of the bench press or an incline press? Because if you cannot do a push up properly, you have no business doing a bench press. If you cannot do 100 continuous push ups, you have no business adding resistance or weight because you're not physically strong enough yet to add resistance. You have to be able to move your body through planes of motion before you add resistance. Otherwise, you're risking injury. Coffee.
Black gold. Caveman coffee.
Caveman coffee. The black gold burp right there.
So gross.
So deadlifts, squats, bent over rows, chin-ups, and push-ups. After push-ups, then I'll add a 45-degree dumbbell incline press. I'm not a big fan of the bench press. Too many people get hurt, and there's a lot of poor form with the bench press where hips come up way off the bench, so it becomes a modified lift. There's a shortened range of motion. The proper muscles aren't activated. So those are the 5 that I'm saying.
You said after the bent over rows, you'll do a 45-degree.
So after the push-ups.
Push-ups.
Deadlift, squat, bent over row.
Okay.
Chin up.
Okay.
And then push up. And you'll notice I'm very posterior heavy. That's the back. That's the muscles behind you. That's why I say deadlifts and bent over rows and chin ups. Those are the 3. Those are the primary movements for explosive power, for athletic power, and for all power in life. Whereas human beings, we're very anterior dominant. Everything we do is moving forward. We reach forward to grab a cup. We reach forward to grab our steering wheel. We reach forward to punch a bag or punch a mitt. We're always pushing things forward, but we're rarely pulling. We're always neglecting the much stronger, much more useful posterior muscles, especially when you're looking to gain weight. When you're looking to put on weight, it's all the muscle behind you. That's where you really get that heavy exoskeleton, that big, hard, nasty shell of power. It's behind you. Forward, that's all little stuff. That's easy stuff.
And that's how you get the name Gluteus Fabulous.
There you go.
All right. Robbie Blevins says, love the show, bro. Big fan. So as I continue to learn more about fitness, I hear this periodization word.
Periodization.
But have no clue what it means and how to establish it in my fitness goals. Please elaborate. Thanks.
Well, UFC Fit is developed on the concept of periodization. What periodization is, it's basically the stacking of certain strength attributes in order to progress to the next level. So with UFC Fit, it's a 12-week periodized program in which the first 3 weeks we build a core level of basic strength. The next level we work on endurance and cardiorespiratory output. The third phase we work on the plyometric power. And the last phase, it's when we begin to peak the body to ultimately get to your top potential with UFC Fit. It's being able to perform 5 rounds, 5 minutes, nonstop, so you have the best of everything. So we start with more strength building, more traditional squats and curls and presses and such. And then we move on to more faster-paced motions, high knees and forward kicks and you know, jump up, you know, up-downs and things like that. Then we get plyometric, lots of bounding, lots of exploding, lots of, you know, jumping and, you know, changing direction on, you know, ground to the standing position. And then at the end, it's everything. It's a total mashup. So what periodization is, it's basically, it's the mediation of volume and intensity. It's programmed volume and intensity. Now, when I work with my athletes, we set up periodized programs, not just for the fight camp that they're in, the 6, 9, 12-week fight camp, but the entire 52-week year. We know the athlete's competing 3 times that year. So that's 3 9-week training camps in a 52-week season. We have the off-season. We have the in-season. We have the post-season. All of these seasons are made to excel and hit specific targets and goals. So we're not just – a lot of athletes, they train during training camp and then they don't train in between. Well, those are the athletes that are also RANs. They're journeymen. They just stay in the middle of the pack and they're never going to achieve their full potential. Athletes like Johnny Hendricks, like Ronda Rousey, like Nick Lentz, like Mike Pyle. These are the athletes that constantly excel and push their boundaries and potential because 52 weeks a year, they have a targeted goals and they're doing better. And it's based on the concept of periodization. Now with that, let's jump off. Let's get Mr. Dwayne Bang Ludwig on the line. So I'm going to try and dial him in. Here we go. What's his number? Should I give his number out on the air? No. Could you imagine that?
Yeah, Jessica Ludwig would kill you.
She would kill you. You're waking up my babies.
Yeah.
That's not how Jess talks.
No, not at all.
Here we go. Dwayne Bang Ludwig.
I always hold my breath when we're down. I'm like, is it going to go through?
Hello.
Mr. Bang.
Hey, Mr. Dolce. How you doing, buddy?
Good, brother. Brandy's on the air also with us.
Hi, Dwayne.
Hey, Brandy.
What's
up? How you doing?
Good, good.
How you doing, man? Where you at? Fill us in.
I am in my kitchen juicing up a nice little Dolce Diet breakfast, sir, even though it's noon.
that's the life of Bang. I love it. And you're in Sacramento, California?
Yes, sir, in Sacramento. So Dwayne Bang, little Dwayne Bang knows how to work the juicer, man. It's sweet.
Is it?
We blend it, work it all together. It's nice.
Awesome. And everything's going well. Before we got you on, we talked a little bit about what happened last weekend. TJ Dillashaw dominating Henan Burrell, who was considered one of the top 3 pound-for-pound fighters on the planet. And Dillashaw just went out there and wiped him out. What are your thoughts on the performance?
My thoughts on that is, or are, I guess, there's a couple of key recipes as far as stylistically breaking things down, breaking opponents down. And when you have a world-class athlete like TJ and the correct information and the correct group of training partners, there's no choice but to get better. And that's exactly what happened. You know, we created a game plan and just drilled the heck out of it. For about a year and a half, Burrell's kind of been that kind of – Burrell's been the sight since I got there. I always felt, you know, TJ was definitely one of the guys who was going to be world champion. He's world champion a lot sooner than I expected. But, you know, he's one of those guys that we just had, you know, a special bond, and is one of those things from the get-go that we just gunned for Burrell.
Yeah, I remember when you first took the job as head coach of Team Alpha Male, like within the first week you and I had a conversation and you said, listen, TJ Dillashaw is a fucking gangster. This kid is going to be world champion. He's my special project. And I remember thinking, like, wow, Dillashaw, I know he's good. I know he's tough. He's that kid off the Ultimate Fighter show. If Dwayne's saying this, he must be somebody special. Dude, less than 2 years' time, you took a kid from the Ultimate Fighter and made him a world champion. Or helped him because, you're a coach. I'm a coach. Helped him unlock his true potential and achieve world champion status by beating the most dominant champion that weight class had ever seen.
100%. Yeah, that's just one of those things. You know, and like you said, I helped him achieve his full potential. I don't think we're actually at his full potential yet, but I'm helping him. I'm a piece of the puzzle for helping him reach his full potential, which that's a coach's job, you know. I'm definitely not out there dictating every decision that he makes in the cage or in the training room, but I'm just there to offer advice and point in the direction here or there, just making sure he has a watchful eye. And it's one of the things, too, as a coach, I just sit back and make sure that he's comfortable and confident. And if there's something that he wants to do that I feel isn't probably the best decision, but he pulls it off technically, then what can I say? I can't really argue with success. So I'm just learning the role as a coach as the years go on, when to step in, when to say certain things, and just it's an art too. Coaching is an art. Holding pads is an art. Adapting to the athlete is an art, and understand each athlete. So it's a little bit of a tricky business. You know, it can't really be put into a book or a CD or a webinar or anything. It's definitely because part of the piece of the puzzle is filling the energy of that day too, and dictating which direction we should go with the class, depending on, you know, their energy levels and things like that as well. So there's a couple of recipes, a couple of key ingredients to this recipe of success.
And it's always evolving. And that's the thing. In order to truly be a great coach, you have to be a great student. And I know you take that as an approach as a martial artist. You define yourself as a martial artist, not as a fighter per se. But you're a martial artist. You're constantly growing, learning, expanding. So you can take that information and share that with the students that look up to you.
Yes, sir. 100%. I definitely am a martial artist. And those around me, if they're not martial artists, they're slowly becoming martial artists. And that's definitely what happened with TJ Dillashaw. I know they just came up through the wrestling background. It's not too much traditional martial arts honor and respect, you know. But so if you just lead by example, they'll follow your lead. And that's exactly what's happening. And someone like Chris Holdsworth, who came up through the traditional arts, he's already that way. So it's definitely good to have him in the academy. Also, you kind of following the lead and just, you know, being a respectful martial artist, and that's why I feel a martial artist is doing the correct thing and leading by example. That's definitely what Holdsworth does. That's exactly what TJ Dillashaw is starting to do, and that's exactly what I've been doing since I was a child.
That's amazing. Now, how many athletes are you responsible for at Alpha Male right now?
Well, right now I'm actually on the unemployment list, but who I was in charge of was the whole team. We have about 30 to 40 athletes total. I think when I got there, it was low 20s. Now there's over 30, 40 people there as far as athletes, not including the regular members as well. So we have seven guys in the UFC. Well, there's still seven guys in the UFC. Tommaso has seven guys in the UFC still. And those are my seven guys that I would look after for sure, 100%, and making sure that the game plan is being followed and what the game plan calls for, those things are taken into the practice room, make sure we're drilling the heck out of it. But to answer your question, seven UFC athletes in total is who I was responsible for.
And then 30-plus professionals in the gym, and then probably a couple hundred in total in the student roster?
Yeah, there's about 400 members total in the academy.
Wow, that's a kick-ass gym, man.
Yeah.
And what's crazy is all the personalities, because each person is unique. And as a coach, you have to act and respond differently in a manner that this individual, this student, will absorb your information, because everybody has a different way to learn. So as a coach, you have to have multiple ways to teach. You can't just teach one way your way, because now you're not going to hit all the athletes or all the students on the mat. You have to find ways to share your information in a manner that everybody can understand and employ it.
Yes, 100%. Yeah, there's a couple of ways to learning, obviously, audio, visual, and then having the guys just go through the motions themselves. And then, again, going back to making sure that I adapt to the athlete, making sure that I can show this combo or this drill, this technique, a couple of different ways to adapt to each athlete. And that's the same thing, too, when I'm cornering guys. I got to make sure that, you know, some guys respond better to positive coaching or negative coaching. I have a couple guys that I feel respond better to negative coaching. I'm a big fan of telling the guys exactly what to do, and so sort of the brain's focusing on that. But some guys, they'd rather prove you wrong, and that's fine, too. Whatever helps the athlete achieve his full potential, I'm okay with. And, you know, being around the athletes, spending some time with them, understanding how they are personality-wise, definitely helps with the, you know, evolving that coach-student-mentor relationship.
Absolutely. That's awesome. Now, outside of what your role was in Alpha Male, you're also running Bang Muay Thai, which is the fastest-growing, most respected Muay Thai striking art-based training system on the planet. in my opinion, but I think it's factual at this point. And you're exploding.
I agree.
It's proof-based. It's fact-based. I mean, look at what you're doing. Look at what your athletes have done. Look at what your system entails. Look at what regular students that have no aspirations to be a professional fighter are able to do now. They look like professional fighters, and these are doctors and lawyers and baristas and garbage men and police officers, people that they're not getting paid to be a pro fighter, but they're in the Bang Muay Thai training system, and they're throwing combos and techniques with proper stance and position and respect of the art that is almost unparalleled anywhere you go.
100%, for sure. I definitely agree with that breakdown. And you are a smart man, Mr. Dolce.
I got you as a friend, so there we go. I learned from you, my man. Now, how many Bang Muay Thai schools are there now?
We have 27 affiliates throughout the world right now.
Wow.
Most of them are in the U.S. We have a couple in Canada, Thailand, Malaysia as well, but primarily in the U.S. We have one in the U.K. now also, but we're going to open up another one in the U.K. here soon. But, you know, it's definitely spreading. I love it. It's my baby. It's my project. It's something I'm definitely passionate about. I don't make a lot of money from it, but that's not the goal. The goal is just to spread martial arts and making sure that I'm helping people achieve their goals and just helping people better their lives, man. That's what makes me feel good, whether it's in the cage or in the streets, you know. I mean, just making sure that people's lives are getting better, and that's what makes me feel good, living through these guys now.
And how can – so for all the gym owners and the coaches and the facility, you know, operators that are out there that want to be involved and be affiliated with Bang Muay Thai, how can they do that?
They just go to my website, bangmuaythai.com. There's some information page there as far as getting cleared to become an affiliate and understand what the affiliate entails, the detailed video weekly curriculum and the student ranking and things like that. There's a whole list of what goes on to the affiliate program itself. It's quite an in-depth, detailed martial art program for existing academies. It's definitely something that keeps the students in the doors, learning, having fun, sweating, getting a good workout, and coming back.
Absolutely. And it's all fact-based, battle-tested curriculum. It's not a bunch of random techniques. You walk into some gyms and they just throw you a bunch of random techniques that really, they don't fit. Okay, you might get a little tired that day, but it doesn't fit to an evolving curriculum that's really going to enhance the skill of the athlete or the student.
Correct. 100%, yeah. My curriculum, where we go over this week, branch off into the next week, and the next week, and the next week, it all just tails off into another. It's something that I've taken about 7 years to, I wouldn't say master, but to really lock down to where I'm happy with it, and it's always evolving. One of the things I look at as far as Bang Muay Thai, the traditional martial arts academy with today's modern training methods, and that's exactly what it is. You know, to make sure that we stay in touch with the traditional martial arts, honor and respect, but with today's modern training methods is exactly what it is. And it's always evolving as anything does.
And that's the perfect blend. So you're you know, firmly rooted in long-standing history while using the most current and modern scientific and technical breakthroughs and advancements to keep this evolving and moving forward.
My man, Mr. Dolce, breaking it down better than me. You're the man.
Gangsta. Now, your affiliate program, you have 27 schools throughout the world, and you really just started offering this affiliate membership, what, a year and a half ago, maybe? A year ago?
Well, about a year and a half, yeah. I had a couple for about 4 or 5 years now, but I didn't really push it. I'm not really pushing it too much now. I'm not really looking to have a whole bunch of them. I want to make sure that I still remember the affiliates' names and students' names, and making sure that it's not going to get, you know, too spread out. I want to make sure I still have a firm grip on everything, and I can go ahead and talk to each affiliate, and when they text me and call me, we can have a good 15-20 minute conversation if need be. And if I get to the point where I'm having 100, 200 affiliates, that's not going to be the case. I don't think it's going to be as genuine. I'll be as hands-on. So I definitely want to keep it small. I'm probably going to keep it about under 50, but it definitely is blowing up. I'm getting a bunch of responses. But there is a prerequisite that has to be followed for them to actually become an affiliate. They have to have a good student base, martial arts academy already, have a good skill set from the get-go. So it's not something for a day one student or a day one, you know, a brand new academy that necessarily have a good student base and already have a good track record in the martial arts. But it's definitely growing. I'm picking and choosing on those who can become an affiliate.
Nice. And I know my buddy Rich Kiley, when Unrivaled Sports Performance out there in Ohio or in Nebraska, right?
Yes, sir.
Is now he's a Bang Muay Thai affiliate, and he's super stoked. I'm stoked for him and you to kind of be blended together because he's a D1 wrestler, high-level yes, D1 sir. Wrestler, and now he's blending in the Bang Muay Thai striking skills to his student base, and that's the best. I mean, the best possible combination, in my opinion, is that.
Yeah, definitely for sure. I think the best combination for a successful martial artist, or especially a mixed martial artist, is to have a wrestling base with some good Bang Muay Thai or just some Muay Thai. But my Bang Muay Thai system is specifically geared for the mixed martial arts realm, not really for traditional martial arts. Because again, things have evolved. Things have kind of, you know, I'm not going to say passed them up, but there's just, I look at the martial art, mixed martial art world, and that's what I based my striking system off of.
Awesome. Now, shifting gears a little bit, well, there's sure. other coaches, other great coaches out there, guys like Duke Rufus or Rafael Cordero or Andre Pederneris or Mark Delagrati. I mean, there's other good striking coaches out there. What makes your system different, do you think, than theirs? Or what makes your athletes different than theirs?
No, I'm not quite sure exactly what their system entails. I know a lot of people say they have a system. I legitimately have taken striking and put it into a system, legitimately, 100%. I know everyone says they have a fighting system. To give an honest assessment, I'm not sure what they have, so I can compare them. And, you know, I don't really want to compare too much. I want to make sure that they're all working together. But one thing that I do is have my striking locked down to a science. I know how to teach it to everybody. It definitely helps if you are a world-class martial I have world-class athleticism. You can pick things up faster, just naturally. But I've broken it down so simplistic that anybody can pick it up, and anybody does pick it up. I have, like you said, I have people that are doctors, lawyers, firemen, baristas, all these people that are training in Bang Muay Thai, and they're picking it up because I've broken it down very, very simple. And that's which is what you have to do, because when you have these athletes fighting in the cage or in the ring, they need things to be simple. You can't have a complex combination. Things have to be broken down simple. And that's what things I think I've done is broken things down, made it a system, easy to follow.
And that's it. And that's the path to success right there, because now it's easily repeatable. The techniques that you show, it's easily teachable and it's easily absorbed by the students. So now that they can, you know, take this information, they can apply it to their own game in a manner that they're not thinking about what they should do in the heat of the moment, because, you know, competing is all reaction. So you're embedding these reactions inside their DNA. So now they just go out there and they perform without trying to put these, you know, 8, 10, 12, movement. I won't say strike specifically because there's, you know, feints and takedowns and such built in there. These combinations were now just become seamless. I know that's something that you do with your athletes, and all the great content that you put out online through your Instagram account and your Facebook page and such is the athletes doing these, you know, combinations back and forth, where they're doing, you know, 4, 6, 8 punch combinations, almost like a Dutch style for those that are familiar, of trading technique back and forth with their partner repetitively over and over and over again. And things that I've seen you post online, I saw TJ doing in that fight in a split second without even thinking. He was just reacting.
Yes, sir. Yep. Yeah, we take drills and combinations, and we do exactly that. We drill the heck out of it and make sure that it's a muscle memory, that we're not thinking about it. Of course, you have to think about it first, and then just drill it into the subconscious, and then just naturally comes out. Because like I said, you know, if you think it takes too long, and we're doing it split seconds and fractions of an inch, so I make sure that we take drills and combinations and drill the heck out of it, just like wrestlers always do. They're used to drilling and working with each other and being good partners. So now they already have that skill set of how to drill. Now, here's the correct information. Here's what's actually going to help you fight in the cage when it matters. Let's drill that, and they have no problem drilling. And a couple of things that I point out as far as the mental aspect on the drills, as far as what they should be thinking about at this point, where their foot should be stepping, should be biting out the mouthpiece, closing the fist, getting with what piece of the knuckles. I get very specific and break things down as far as when you have the weight of your body on your foot, is it on the heels, on the balls, or is it the toes? It depends on the technique and the situation at the time. So I get pretty detailed with my stuff, but I make it very simple for them as well.
That's awesome. And then the proof speaks for itself. Now we're going to change.
Yeah, it does, right?
And that's obviously it, because your guys have looked absolutely phenomenal. That's, you know, what the whole sport of MMA has been talking about for the last year is how good these Bang Muay Thai fighters are looking now. And they were all world-class fighters, but they were never able to break through to that top tier. You know, Uriah did well in the WEC, but since stepping up to the big stage of the UFC, He hasn't been able to compete successfully. Now you've gotten your athletes, the Bang Muay Thai athletes, to truly jump to all to number one contenderships, all to that top level, breaking through recently with TJ now, who just won the world title. I think Benavidez now, he's right back in for a title shot, I'm assuming. Chad Mendez has his next title shot coming, you know, against Jose Aldo here pretty soon. And I'm betting on Mendez for that one. I think because of his time spent with you, he's going to be able to deal with what Aldo has to offer. And I know Chad is a great athlete in his own right, great wrestler. I was there when he fought Jose in Brazil, and that didn't quite go his way. But now, having been exposed to you for the last year and a half, I don't think Jose is going to have anything for Chad this time.
Yeah, it's going to be – I still think it's going to be a – it could be a tough matchup because, I mean, Jose Aldo is the best guy in the world. I mean, he legitimately is. So it's going to be a tough matchup. I'm not going to overlook Aldo, but he's one of the guys that has very, very precise timing and accuracy. But Chad is a different athlete now than when he first fought Aldo. 100%, he's a different athlete than when they first fought. Because this is the thing. We have world-class athletes with the proper information, with a little bit of traditional martial arts honor and respect, and these guys have no problem drilling. They are committed athletes. So that recipe right there, along with the other guys in the gym, the whole iron sharpens iron, Chad Mendez, everyone team off from now, since I've been there till now, they are all 100% completely different athletes. They are better athletes. They are martial artists now. And I think this fight is going to go different. I know it's going to go differently. And I'm working on some things right now to stay for Chad's camp. I'm going to be out of here in Sacramento in 2 weeks, June 12th. I'm scheduled to anyway, but I'm working on, hopefully we're trying to stay for his camp and we'll see what happens with that. But I don't feel Chad needs me for his camp, but his chances of winning the belt against Aldo are better with me here. That's for sure.
Without a doubt. I think, you know, we all agree with that. And you're only an asset, you know, to any athlete to have you by their side when they step in, especially with a guy like Jose Aldo, who's a reigning world champion and one of the best strikers in the game. I mean, just to have you there would be phenomenal because you see things and you know things. And I mean, not many people have your pedigree as far as a competitor goes. I mean, you know, people forget that you are a reigning world champion in striking, that you are the K-1 North American World Max Champion. I mean, you've hold legitimate world titles in the striking arts, not just in MMA. I mean, people forget that you knocked out Jens Pulver when Jens Pulver was the number one ranked lightweight in the sport of mixed martial arts. That's going back almost a decade or so ago.
Yep.
Some people aren't quite.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true. I'm going to do your bragging for you. You hold the fastest knockout in the history of the UFC. Of the thousands of elite athletes that have come through the UFC, Dwayne Bang Ludwig holds the record for the fastest knockout in the entire organization. So, and there's a lot of the newer fans of the sport that might not know your lineage that dates back, 15, 20 years now. I mean, you've been competing since you were in your mid-teens, right?
Yes, my first fight was when I was 16, and I haven't been stopped until, you know, 2 years ago. I obsess about martial arts. I mean, this is my passion. This is why I feel I'm here on earth, is to teach martial arts now. It was to be a fighter for a while. Now it was that whole fighting career was to get me to this point now, to be this good of a coach and to just have this much fun. I definitely am a much happier person training guys now than ever was as a fighter. And I feel in my heart that I'm here on earth to teach martial arts. And I love it, man. I'm passionate. And it's a good mix too, because the guys that I'm training now, they know that I pulled off these techniques and these drills in my fights, and there's no BS to me. So they definitely have a lot of confidence when I ask them to do a technique or a drill, and I demonstrate it and demonstrate it technically correct, and they see it in my fights and my highlights. Like, okay, this guy knows this stuff. So that helps as well as far as being confident and comfortable with your coach, also making sure that you don't have somebody just making stuff up and just trying to, you know, act cool. I am cool, and I do make stuff up, but it's correct enough. I figured that.
That's right. You're cool as shit, motherfuckers.
Yeah, man, I love life right now. Times are good for sure, my friend. I love teaching martial arts, and of course I'm making a living off of it, so it's a win-win for everybody. I'm helping better people's lives and creating martial artists, and I'm getting paid for it, so I couldn't be any happier right now.
I mean, how good – and what – And you know, I've gotten this a lot in my career. A lot of people, they think that they can just step in and do what we do without having gone through the sacrifice to get to where we've gotten. You know, with the Dolce diet, you know, now, you know, we're getting a good amount of, you know, we have a good amount of success. But this is a 25-year growth curve for us. I mean, literally, you know, 25 years ago, I was writing programs and you know, for, you know, athletes, for wrestlers. I was the captain, you know, a freshman year as a captain of the varsity wrestling team, running athletes through weight cuts and through training programs. I was the guy on the mat that was leading these men, you know, into battle 25 years ago. In 2006, I made $14,000 the entire year as the Dolce Diet, working 12 to 16 hours a day, 6 and 7 days a week, just grinding, riding my bike back and forth, you know, 6 miles to the gym because I couldn't afford gas in my car or payments to grind all of our, and it, just like you, it was to help people. Our goal has always been to help people. Making money has never been the goal. It's always been to spread this information, to help people do better, to be better, to live better, to be healthier, so they can move on and share their experience and success with their families, because ultimately that's what this is about. I haven't worked with a single athlete that wants to win a world title just because it's going to get them laid. It's because they're able to – they know with that world title, they're going to add a couple extra zeros to their paycheck, and now they can buy a house and they can take care of their kids and they can pay for college, and now they have food on the table and they have health care. They don't have to worry anymore. I mean, when I sit down and goal set with my athletes, it's, you know, at first they want to win a world title. They want to be the man on top of the heap. And as we dig deeper, we start pulling back the layers. Well, they want that so they have financial security, so they can move forward and take care of their family for the 50 years after they've won the world title. And that's, you know, something that I hear with you, that you're here to help people. And your way of helping people is through your very specific skill set. And that's martial arts, and not just striking, because you're a complete martial artist. Now, you know, some people that they look at you, and now Dwayne, he's the coach of the year, and he's got Bang Muay Thai, and he's a world class, and this and that, and he's, you know, he's got money, and he's making it rain up in the clubs and all that. Well, not really. but they see that and they're like, oh, I can do that. I can throw straight right. I know how to do that. I can coach this. I run the gym. I can. But no, they don't understand the sacrifice and the true, you know, humble approach that it takes to get to the top of the heap. You don't just step into that. You have to earn and claw and grind and suffer.
Yes.
Your way to success.
You definitely have to earn it. That's for sure. And it's definitely, it's one of those things where I'm not quite sure what the goal from the get going as a child was to win a world title. Boom. And I knew I was going to do a couple things. Whether it be a martial artist, win a world title, and have my own academy. And those three things are coming together right now. Already, you know, obviously I'm a martial artist. I've won my own 2 world titles. I've helped people win world titles. Now it's time to have my own academy. But people do think it's easy. They think they can do that. And, you know, that's what I thought when I was a kid, too. I'd watch people fight, and I was like, man, that's easy. And you know what? It is easy. It's not that hard as long as you believe and you want it and you're willing to sacrifice and go ahead and put in that hard work. What you have to do, man, is just believe and go after it and create a goal and create a plan and make it happen. But it can't be done overnight. Just like you said, this has been a journey for me for 20, 25 years now. I've been nonstop in martial arts. I obsess about it. And because of that, it's led me to different paths and different relationships. And I met you, which has helped me a ton in my martial art career, making sure that I'm living a good, healthy lifestyle so I can compete to my full potential in the cage. It's all these little pieces of the puzzle that led to my success. And you're definitely a big part of that. If it wasn't for you, I would not have been making 55 healthy. I wouldn't have made 170 healthy. So I don't know if I'd be in the same position without the Dolce Diet, without your help and guidance, and not just in the nutrition world too, but as a lifestyle and a friend and business advice and everything, man. Like you're an awesome dude, man. You're one of my best friends. I'm just so glad so glad and happy I met you and the Team Alpha Male guys and everyone along the martial art journey. It's an awesome thing for sure, man. It definitely could be a documentary or a movie right now, what's going on with my life and all the people that I've crossed paths with, and all the information I've collected throughout the years. And I'm just jumping into my affiliates and my athletes now. And I'm a happy human being, man.
I love it, Dwayne. I appreciate every word. And you know, we've had this conversation offline. If we should record the conversations that we have privately just to blow people's minds, but we couldn't do that. We couldn't give away that information and pull back the screen like that. But, you know, I have tremendous admiration, respect for you, and I feel the same exact way, having you as one of my best friends and mentors and coaches and confidants and supporters, you know, all the way through has helped me develop and get to the point that I am I'm at right now. I mean, we stay at each other's homes. We stay with each other's families. Yep. You know, we help each other through the thick and the thin, the problems, the ups and the downs, and we're always there for each other grinding. And that's been over a decade now, man, going back to like 2004, 2005 is when we started 100%. This, right?
It's been a while for sure, man.
And it's
one of those things like, you know, when I'm done, when I'm not as famous anymore and this and that, or even if I am famous, not sure, when I'm not as popular anymore, you know, I'll definitely, the friends that I have now are the same friends that I'll have in 20, 30 years from now, which is cool. You know, no one around me right now is around me because they're getting something that they don't want to earn. You know, they're definitely around me because they want to be around me because I'm a, you know, nice, happy, pleasable guy. And I'm there to help people get better. They're not around me because I'm giving them money. They're around me because they want to be martial artists and lead by example, you know, and follow my lead and lead by example. But that's the thing, man. I'm following your lead too. I'm listening to advice and making sure that I'm open-minded and still being a student in every aspect. Like I still go put the gi on and throw my purple belt on and I still roll jiu-jitsu. And it's fun to be the student again and see all these life lessons from people, whether it's how to do a correct arm bar, tighten up the hips and make sure pinching the knees and locking the heels down and controlling them, or if it's just say the correct thing in an interview, or if it's just walking, you know, correctly and making sure you're holding the door for the old lady or the old man, helping groceries or whatever it is, but doing what you feel is right in your heart. That's what a martial artist is.
That's right. And some people don't know. When I first started hanging out with you, we were rolling around Colorado, and I remember going to the supermarket with you. When you parked at the very, like, last spot in the parking lot, farthest away, and I remember being like, oh, dude, there's a spot, you know, close to the door. And you're like, no, I'm going to leave that spot for somebody else that might need it. I was like, wow, Dwayne's a fucking really good guy. And then we're walking, and there's like a candy wrapper on the ground. And you like go running 40 feet like back into the parking lot to go pick up this candy wrapper. And then there's like a stray cart, and you like grab the cart, and like you walk it up. And I'm like, I am a piece of shit.
Oh, no.
This motherfucker is like fucking Jesus Christ over here.
I just know those things like, well, you know, we're world-class athletes. I can afford to park in the end of the parking lot and walk. You know, like, you know what cracks me up is when people drive around the parking lot in the fitness center trying to find a close place to walk. It's like, what are you doing, right? This fellow just walked to the fitness center. That'd be your workout. So, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, I don't mind parking in the parking lot or, you know, picking up the trash or putting the buggy in the correct place. There's just things that should happen, like, just overall for just the better humanity and just to do what I feel is right, you know, just to kind of help out a little bit here and there. And it takes no effort for me, really. So it's pretty simple and easy. And if I can lead by example, I will. But I just do it because I feel that's what should be done, you know.
And you do lead by example. And why I brought that up is to show people that this is who you truly are. When the UFC cameras are off and when you're not, you know, in the spotlight, that's still Dwayne being Dwayne. That if I wasn't there, you would have done that regardless with nobody seeing, nobody knowing. That's just who you are, and I think that's what makes you so special. Not just your brilliant technique, but it's your personality and it's your heart. That's why so many athletes gravitate to you. That's why so many athletes bow down to you and respect you when they step on the mat, because they truly look at you like a master. You're somebody that they aspire to be, not just technically, but in life. I know that's the way I feel about you. You know, that you're somebody I aspire. When I think, I'm like, what would Dwayne do here? And I can, that pushes me forward. That pushes me to be better. And I do that now. Those like little things of picking up the trash. Now I do that because Dwayne would do that. I got to do that too. And that helps me to be, and the satisfaction and the pride that I get from those little moments. And nobody knows, nobody sees that stuff. But we know in our hearts, it's just that one little step to being a better person, a more well-rounded human being.
Yeah, I agree, Mr. Filter. You're awesome, my friend. They're just things I feel I should just people should naturally do, man, that's for sure. But I think that definitely does help for the athletes to believe in me because they respect me. You know, when I'm on these fight trips or if I'm out or doing a signing, whatever, they know, like, man, I'm a loyal, you know, good-hearted dude here to help people, man. So, and, it, you know, of course it helps out. You know, I got the best knockout and I know what I'm talking about. And that's the flip side of me. I'm definitely humble and respectful. But, man, I do know what I'm doing, and there's no BS to that either. So I'm a realist but and humanitarian, I guess, definitely make sure you're doing the right thing and just leading by example.
Absolutely.
But like you, man, like, you know, I've got a whole bunch of good eating habits from just grocery shopping and making a green shake, just like you call it now. Me and Dwayne Banger making our shake, man. And it's a don't you die. It's good stuff. And it's just we've instilled habits with each other, you know, the good habits to help us live longer, healthier, happier lives.
That's
and
it,
I appreciate
man.
That. I mean, you've helped make my family healthier and happier. That's just, that means the world to me.
Brother, that means everything to me because I want you guys to, Brandy and I, we need you guys to be around for another 100 years.
Hell yeah.
You know, we need to keep this party going, because without you, without our friends around, well, what good is everything? And that's what we try and share here. You have to lead by example. So you have to do it yourself in order for other people to be inspired and motivated that it can be done. So you have to set that example. I have to eat this way. I have to live this way. So my family, my friends, my athletes will say, well, fuck, he can do it. Look at him now. He's better. He's stronger. He's leaner. He's more energetic. He's, you know, hopefully a better husband, a friend, and you know, all those good things, and continue on. But I want everybody I care about to be with me. I don't want to be, you know, the oldest, you know, healthiest man on the planet and not have anybody I care and love. I need everybody to be on board and to be doing this too, so we can all stay around and keep this thing going and keep it growing. And that's why I'm happy that, you know, with what we do, it's, you know, the athletes are cool, but like you being a martial artist, the athletes are cool, but it's about longevity. It's about family to me over here. I want my athletes to be with their families for another 100 years after their career and to be around and just keep spreading that. So that's awesome that the Ludwig family is doing this. And I know you guys have been doing that, which is fucking awesome.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I want to be, you know, 50 years from now, I want to be 85 and still holding pads and training with Lil Dwayne Big when he has his black belt too, you know.
Oh, hell yeah.
It's going to be awesome to give him his black belt and still be training and watch him hit pads and possibly run the academy and just be a little martial artist himself and make sure we're all healthy, happy at the end of our lives and enjoying it.
That's it. And now we're going to jump in. We have a bunch of questions for you that our fans and listeners has thrown in when they heard that, you know, Dwayne Bang was going to be on. The questions start piling up. So if you don't mind, we're just going to throw some at you.
Let's rock it.
All right, Dwayne. Hani Halal says, after seeing the transformation of TJ striking, I've got to ask, what sort of drills and exercises do you recommend to someone who's not very fast or fluid to improve their footwork and their ability to not get hit? He says, unfortunately, I'm just naturally not very fast or fluid, and I take a lot of punishment in sparring as a result of it.
Well, I think that's one of the issues. It shouldn't be – well, it depends on what level of sparring. There's different levels of sparring, so mm-hmm. – If I stand in front of you or in front of the guy and I say, look, I can punch pretty fast or pretty hard. Here it comes. You better figure it out. And I throw that as hard as I can and pump and pop him in the face. He's probably not going to learn too much from that. But if I go, look, I'm going to throw my right hand and I'm going to throw it straight down the pipe. And what you need to do is you need to block it or defend it. But I'm going to throw it at a slow enough speed that you could properly react. Because if I throw it hard and fast, you're going to freak out and not give me the proper response. But if I throw it slow and I make it my goal not to hit you, but your goal is to slip the punch. You got to set, you know, create a handicap in it and set the goal too. So right now, the goal of the drill is for you to slip my punch. The goal of the drill is not for me to punch you in the face. So it's little things like that. So a bunch of little gray area drills like that that I would work. And now with that example right there, we're standing from each other. We both have an orthodox stance. I'm going to throw my cross, which is my right hand, my rear straight. What you need to do is you need to either step back, you need to slip your head off to the left or to the right, or you need to duck a little bit, or you can just block with your hands. But again, I'm going to throw my cross slow enough that you can properly respond. A lot of people go from doing drills or doing a shadow boxing, putting that drill or that technique onto the pads and taking them to sparring. Well, those are three steps. Now, there's a whole bunch of gray areas in between each step that need to be addressed, and one of them is just slowing it down, because just like in jiu-jitsu, I think people get better at jiu-jitsu a lot faster just because the whole fear of getting punched in the face and protecting your eyes and organs is taken away, and it's a slower pace. They have more time to respond. Same thing with punches now. I just need to punch slower with less power, giving you, again, enough time to properly respond. So I wouldn't spar anymore. I would slow things down. I would put your back against the wall and have your opponent stand, you know, 4 or 5 feet from you and slowly throw the cross and have you properly respond by slipping it, ducking, blocking, parrying it, whatever you want to do. But again, the goal of the drill is for you to defend the punch and not for him to punch you in the face. And then just pick it up from there a little faster, a little harder until, again, you're responding correctly. Does that answer the question? Hopefully it does.
I think it does.
Hell yeah. Okay. That was a free private right there.
I think I just learned.
Yeah, I just got to slow things down. I was like, okay, what's the first thing you can do? You're going to walk or you're going to run?
That's it. I love it.
Yeah, you gotta slow it down. You gotta build it up. Next question. Where are we at?
Next question. All right. We have Martin Neal. He says, congrats on Dillashaw's performance. And how do you relax your athletes? TJ looked relaxed, calm, and confident.
Good question.
Well, that comes from a year and a half of constant drilling and muscle memory. And he knows that he's going to pull off the correct techniques at the correct time because we've been through it for a year and a half now. So he knows he's in shape. He knows he's fast. He knows he's strong. He knows he has the proper information. He has confidence in his coach. He's visualized it. He's sparred. He's pulled the things off in sparring. Proof's in the pudding. He's been winning his fights easily. It's just all those little things help with the confidence. He doesn't cut a bunch of weight. He's probably about 10 pounds over. He cuts about 10 to the week of the weigh in. So he's strong and he's healthy and he's fast and he's confident because he's put in the work. Some people do visit some, I don't think TJ does, but like hypnotherapists. I think I would recommend that for some people. Hypnotherapy. There's one guy actually in Vegas, Elliot Rowe. Elliot Rowe. He's really good at doing hypnotherapy. I've done a couple of sessions with him. I think he helped me out quite a bit. But again, it goes back to a whole bunch of small things, making sure you have confidence in your coach, confidence in your techniques, your stamina, your timing, your accuracy, the opponent coming up, you know, your confidence being him because you have the skill sets to do it. And some people just believe more than others. I mean, you have to believe. But it's an interesting balance because you can believe all you want and just have, you know, crappy cardio, crappy technique, and it's not going to win you the fight. But I'd rather have a comfortable, confident athlete with less skills go into a fight than a badass athlete who has a whole bunch of skill sets, but is a marshmallow at heart. So I think the power of belief is stronger than anything else, but you can't fool yourself too much either.
Gotcha. All right.
I can never just give like one answer, right?
Like, no, that's awesome.
That's all. Yeah, that's perfect.
That's what we need.
Yeah. No. Next guy, Leon Decker says, oh, "What up, coaches?" Says first, congrats, Dwayne, on helping Team Alpha Male capture their first title. He says, "Give us some advice on an up and coming fighter balancing training and school and work." Ooh, do you fighters that need to balance all that at Team Alpha Male?
Some of the guys do. I'm not the UFC athletes, but a lot of the other guys, they definitely do. I'd have to look at the schedule, but, you know, we have 24 hours out of the day, you know, 8 hours, hopefully 6 to 8 hours for sleeping. You have, how much do the guys actually train in a day? They train a max 2 to 4 hours a day. There's still 20 other hours to sleep and do school and do work, you know? I think it can be easily be done. 80% of my career, I still worked a full-time job, but not that that's the best recipe. But it can definitely be done. I mean, as long as the schedule, the training schedule fits in with the crew, you can get to pull off the practice, you know, before or after work, we have enough sleep and a clear mind to actually train properly, then that helps. But there's a whole, I can't really give a direct answer to this question because I have to know the schedule and figure out how much time is being lost and driving and things like that and the commutes and such. And, but it can easily be done. I've done it. A lot of the guys at the gym at Academy, they do it. I mean, it can easily be done. I think a lot of people become athletes or become fighters or professional fighters just to say they don't want to have a regular job, which I don't think is the correct decision. You can still have a regular job and still train because you train 2 to 4 hours out of the day. You can figure it out. If you really want something, you're going to find a way. That's for sure.
For sure. Yeah, I agree with that. Okay, I don't know about this. Ray McLeod says, congratulations on a well-deserved Coach of the Year, bang. He says, if I come to Colorado, will you show me the Dim Mac Death Touch? What the heck is that?
Dim Mac, yeah. That's a technique that a lot of us are not supposed to talk about.
Oh,
that's a
hidden
ninja technique, so I can't really show him that, but I appreciate it.
But it is such a thing, I guess. Oh, that's interesting.
It isn't to others, only for those who believe.
All right. We're not talking about that. Let's see. That's scary, actually. Let's see. Oh, this is interesting. Adil Iqbal says, who is the hardest hitting guy at Team Alpha Male? Mendez?
Mendez, yeah. Mendez for sure is the hardest hitter, 100%. That guy can crack. But you know what? He can crack, but, man, so can Benavidez. I'd like to maybe possibly put them on maybe like a little punch meter machine and feel how hard that is. Because, man, they both crack. I'm like, dang. And they're both obviously, you know, pretty tiny. Benavidez playing at 25 and then Chad at 45. But, man, they both hit hard. So does TJ. So does Eric Sanchez. We have a lot of guys that crack hard. Actually, Chris Holdsworth hits hard, too. All these guys hit hard. But the hardest hitter is either Benavidez or Mendez.
Wow. That's because how would you judge that, really? I mean, you would have to have, like, one of those.
They have those little punch meters, you know, you smack the double end ball and then it reads the power.
Yeah. Okay. I was thinking, like, of a – this is embarrassing. I was thinking of, like, one of those carnival things, you know.
Well,
like,
that might work, too. Yeah, either way. I mean, that'll work. Huh?
That's crazy. Fine. Oh, my God. Hey, Greg Yellen says, do your athletes use the steel mace from Onnit as part of their training? Really?
Yes. Yeah, Urine's Ultimate Fitness, we have a whole slew of Ana equipment there, and the guys use all that stuff. And then actually at their strength conditioning center too, that's outfitted with a whole bunch of Ana products also. So the guys, that's what's cool about Ana, because actually is a good credible, they make good credible supplements and in workout equipment as well. And all our guys actually, they use it. Even some of the guys, they're not technically sponsored by Ana.
Right.
But all the guys still use all the stuff, which is cool. I have people that are sponsored by other companies, and then they hit me up for Ana products. I'm like, man, you have this company. And they're like, well, yeah, but I don't actually like their stuff. So I'm like, oh, well, here you go. So that's kind of funny. It is one of those funny things in the business. Some people will support a product even though they don't use it.
Huh. And then finally we have – oh, sorry. Go ahead, Dwayne.
No. You're good.
Okay. Chance John Fortune says, what is a way I can incorporate endurance training into my protocol, which has been primarily strength and volume?
So he wants to incorporate – what is it again?
Endurance training.
Endurance training. You know, I'm not too much of a strength conditioning trainer.
Yeah,
I don't give advice on that. But if you want to know how to technically throw strikes and techniques and game plan and footwork and things like that and set things up, I'm your man. But I'm not advise too much on strength conditioning.
No, that's yeah, I don't know either. I think that'd be like a Mike question, really.
And what was it specifically? They want to know how
I incorporate endurance training into like strength and volume.
Yeah, that's part of earlier we spoke in the podcast, Dwayne, before you got on, we talked about periodization. So it's really, it's peaking the body to make sure all your attributes, performance attributes are taken into consideration. And I like to, to compare strength and conditioning, what I do, to mixed martial arts. I'm a mixed martial artist, a martial artist, and the approach, I believe, is universal. So it's like if Dwayne is training an athlete and they got a really good, powerful right hand, but their jab is terrible and it keeps dropping. Well, that's an incomplete athlete. Same thing. If I have an athlete that's just extremely powerful, they can, you know, bench press double body weight and they can squat triple body weight, but then they can only, you know, run for 30 seconds before they gas out. Well, that's an incomplete athlete. They have something that's very good and something that's very bad. So how do we train that? We use periodization, which I like to use 3-week cycles where we focus on very specific techniques or attributes that need to be raised. And we do that primarily in the off season. The closer we get to the fight, well, the more fight specific we must be. So we handle the weaknesses in the off season, and that's, you know, to develop, let's say, you know, strength, speed, or speed endurance. We want to make sure that we're putting a lot of time under tension. We're taxing not just the muscular system, but also the energy systems that fuel those muscles to make sure that the body is capable of performing such tasks. And we can break that out. And of course, UFC Fit, I think, does a great job in that 12-week periodization program to get you to build up a base level of strength plus endurance and then peak the athletes out at the very end.
All right, cool. And then finally, Rich Kiley, who you guys spoke about before, he has a comment. He says, what's up, coaches? Just wanted to give a shout out to you both for helping influence my life. For those that aren't a part of the Bang Muay Thai system and aren't living lean, I suggest making the necessary changes to do so. Boom. That's cool.
I like that. I like this guy.
Yeah.
Rich is awesome, man. He's a good dude.
Yeah, love Rich. I mean, since he first contacted us, you know, about a year and a half ago with his story, and we followed him because he was still in school and he was just about to graduate and he had plans to open up a facility with his brother. A few months later, he said, we're actually going to do it. A few months later, hey, we're open. A few months later, wow, we're kicking ass. A few months later, we're going to get Bang Muay Thai set up here. A few months later, like, their athletes are doing extremely well. The business is growing and booming. So it's so cool to see people that sacrifice, they risk in order to pursue their dream. Now, Rich could have easily taken a job as an employee for some company somewhere because he hasn't, you know, he's got his bachelor's, his brother has a master's, I believe. They could have got great jobs doing whatever, but they decided to truly invest in themselves, in their dreams, and to grow that and spread health and fitness and martial arts, which I think is why you and I, you know, Dwayne, get along with guys like Rich so well, because, you know, we're part of the same crew.
100%. We're all one and the same, here to help people achieve their goals and live a better lifestyle. That's why we're here.
That's it. And now to finish off, what is next for Dwayne Bang Ludwig and Bang Muay Thai? I know, you know, Team Alpha Male, technically, officially, that you're no longer the head coach, although, you know, in spirit, you definitely are the head coach of many of the athletes that still are under your banner. So what is the next? And share what you want, or, you know, hold back, you know, we could release it later. What's going on now?
I got a couple things in the works right now. just kind of still filling it out and figuring out which direction I want to go. Since I was a child, I knew I was going to have an academy in Colorado, and that's still my passion. My dream is definitely to work for myself. And Colorado, I live Colorado. You know, I feel it's time for me to get my family back to Colorado and have my own residual business, you know, and go ahead and do that. I still have open doors for athletes to come and train with me. And if the schedule permits, I'll come out here to Sacramento and train with them as well. And I'll definitely always make time for TJ and some of the other guys. But again, I'll have a couple offers on the table right now to do a couple things. But Colorado's home for sure. I definitely miss Colorado. I've got to get the time back to the family. And then, of course, you know, get my own residual business going. Because right now, here in California, even though I'm no longer employed as a head coach, but of course the guys, I still go in and coach the guys and do privates and stuff, and they're still hitting me up to stay and, you know, do privates and corner them and help them out, and definitely want to do that. It's fun to live through them, but again, I'm still working for somebody else when I'm out here, and that's not really my goal anymore. So I definitely will like to have my own academy, Ludwig Martial Arts in Arvada, Colorado, and that's where my heart is being pulled to. But again, I got a couple offers on the table. I'm still waiting to see exactly what the offers are before I make a correct decision, or before I make a decision whether it's a correct one or not.
Yeah, and you know, whatever you do, it's going to be a world class success for sure, because athletes, you know, gravitate towards you, and you build, you know, athletes into their full potential, and that, you know, becomes obviously world class. So no matter what you do, whether it's, you know, going back to Colorado and opening extremely successful, you know, martial arts gym/ you know, franchise/ international, you know franchise of Bang Muay Thai martial arts schools, that'll be amazing. If you know, because I know some of the offers that are on the table, and they're huge, massive offers, and you're worth every one of them, and you're a benefit to anybody who you get involved with, which is amazing. So anybody that has the chance to partner with Dwayne Bang Ludwig and Bang Muay Thai, it's just going to be a win-win for everybody. Not only do you get a high-level professional, but you get one of the greatest guys on the planet. And how rare is that, to be able to do business with somebody that's actually a good person that's looking to put the results before the payments? I mean, and that's rare in itself, although I know you're a shrewd businessman. Nobody wants to fuck with Dwayne Bang Ludwig.
Yeah.
But they know.
I'm fair and honest. Yeah, as long as people follow through with their commitments, we're good. If they don't, then we have issues.
Then you put them on the list.
Yeah, they go on the list. There's no getting off the list.
Nice. All right, Dwayne, and how can everybody get in touch with you?
At bangmuaytai.com, and my Twitter is dwaynebang.com, and you know, Instagram, the same thing, so they can get in touch with me there. And, you know, I'm just living my martial art dream, man, just helping people better their lives and creating more martial artists. And it's helped through guys like you, Mr. Dolce, and the Dolce Diet, and Brandy. Man, I love you guys. You're awesome, man. I appreciate
everything
you guys have done for me and continue to do for me. So, but to answer your question, bangmuaytai.com.
Bangmuaytai.com. That is the hub that will get you everywhere you need to go. If you're interested, make sure you check out the Bang Muay Thai affiliate program. If you run a gym, if you want to take your gym to the next level, Bang Muay Thai is the place to be. And everybody check Dwayne out on Twitter, on Instagram, on his Facebook page. He's always putting out tons of great content that you can learn from and apply to your own day life training immediately. And it's free. It's just a little taste. Get a little taste from Dwayne Bang on a daily basis, which is awesome. I love that you put that free content out there for everybody too. Dwayne, we absolutely love you. Can't wait to see you here, hopefully very soon. And I'm sure that we'll jump on the phone tomorrow or sometime early this week, and we'll keep on talking, my brother.
And please tell Jess hi for me.
I will. Thank you, Brandy.
Okay.
You guys are awesome.
All right, brother. Talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Dolce. Thank you, Brandy.
Bye.
Thank you, guys.
Bye, Dwayne.
Bye-bye.
Dwayne Bang Ludwig. How
he's
do you
so
not
awesome.
Love him?
I know. He's just so, like, happy and...
happy, genuine, one of the nicest people I know, and he's a bad motherfucker.
And he talks as fast as I do. Like, when I'm on the podcast, I actually have to intentionally slow my speaking down. It's really hard for me.
No.
But I just love Dwayne gets me, like, fired up. I'm like, yeah, talk fast.
And his passion, he has so
that's
much passion and energy, and just his attitude is always positive. I'd love to have him back on one day and talk about his backstory. His childhood, his upbringing, what he had to go through to get the success that he's had. It'll make everybody feel lazy. Dwayne makes me feel lazy in how much he's accomplished and overcome in order to do the things that he's done. And the fortitude and the self-pride and self-respect and the opportunities he's turned down just because morally he couldn't get behind them. I mean, just an amazing person. So, you know, I was always happy to have Dwayne on and happy to be a partner of Dwayne's, where we have quite a few business interests involved. You might see when Dwayne's inside the Octagon, he'll have the Dolce Diet logo on his – shirt, and I'm wearing the Bang Muay Thai shirt right now, and you know, he and I have, you know, quite a few business endeavors. He's the coach of the year. I am the trainer of the year. How cool is that, everybody?
We like peanut butter and jelly.
We are.
Perfect
we are.
Together.
Oh, dude. And we're talking about doing the seminar of the year, or seminar of the year series, where it's Dwayne and myself, where we travel around to your gym, travel around the world, and we just start spitting knowledge at everybody.
So technically, it would be seminars of the year.
Seminar, or yeah, I'll let you name
Seminari.
You're the wordsmith.
Yeah.
I'm just the meathead in the gym.
Okay.
Throwing weights around.
Gluteus fabulous.
Do we have any more? Now, how about this? I posted a photo of our breakfast bowl on my Instagram account today, which I like to do sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
And a few turds came back and said, yeah, your cookbook was, you know, sucks. Not what I expected. It's 130 fucking recipes.
What did they want, an in-house chef?
Yeah, I had. It's a cookbook. It's 130 recipes used by UFC world-class athletes that they eat during their fucking training camps.
What did they say? Why?
Hold on. Let me see if I can find. Let me see. I'm not going to say their name.
Like, is it a good criticism?
This book wasn't very good at all. Hoped for so much more. It was 130 recipes.
Well, it's not The Hobbit. It's a cookbook.
Yeah, just, you know, haters. And then right next, and it's funny because it came in twos, which means it's probably one of our competitors that, and this happens quite a bit. I'm going to talk about it in a second. Your book is useless. All of the recipes are just common sense.
They are.
Are you fucking kidding me? Our veggie paella.
I was just about to say that. I didn't.
Is common sense.
That wasn't common sense to me.
Do you know how difficult that is to make and to come up with in the trial and error?
Of course, yeah, we made it easy.
Yeah, we made it easy for you, but it took us years in order to come up with these recipes of trial and error inside my athletes' kitchens. All these recipes have been used with my UFC athletes and my world-class athletes in their kitchen during their training camp. I get heated when I see the haters, and I want to talk about the haters right now. Because guys and girls, if you bought any of our products from Amazon, we're going to ask you to please go to our Amazon page, the Living Lean book, Living Lean cookbook, or even College Diet Guide, but primarily Living Lean, our Living Lean book on Amazon. Give us a 5-star review and give us a quote, a quick testimonial. We appreciate it because we found out some of our, quote, competitors, haters out there have taken to using some sort of software or internet program in order to start spitting out negative reviews. And if you actually go through, and we had our tech team go through and isolate it and find out that it's coming from, you know, one very, 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 very specific location. Can't release it now, but it started to hammer down our Amazon high rating. So if you have purchased the Living Lean cookbook, whether it's on Kindle, whether it's on iTunes, anywhere, if you've received it, and you hear my voice, and if it's helped you, we're asking you to please give us a 5-star review if you believe that's accurate. Just go on right now, as soon as you get done this podcast, give us a 5-star review and help us boop star rating back up. And we've already contacted Amazon, and Amazon is investigating, and they have agreed that there is something fishy going on there. And it's crazy, and I'm starting to learn more that this is very common. It's common in business that other businesses do this, and whoever is out there, well, they really have a bone, or is it a bone to pick? An axe to grind?
It's both of those things.
It's just a hater, and it's a very specific area. And once my legal team says I'm allowed to say it, I'm going to say it and let you guys know who this person, these people, this individual, this entity is.
It's like a conspiracy theory.
It is. And what they're saying, oh, this book sucks. There's no good information there. But you see the information, and it's, I mean, those that listen to the show that have read the book, you know how well it works. What we did intentionally for Living Lean, that is the entry-level program for every man. We intentionally did not go science-heavy on this because science-heavy books are freaking boring. I have dozens of them in my office that it drives a nail through my brain to try and read this crap.
I always skip to the meat of it, the steps. Step one, step two, just tell me what to do and I'll do it.
And that's what we did with Living Lean. We gave you the meat of it. Here's some motivation, a little bit of backstory so you understand a little bit about me, what inspired me to do what I do today, and here is the fucking recipes. Here's the meal plan, and here's a great workout to get going. You would be surprised at what high-level athletes use these workouts, use these recipes, not just regular people. I mean, it's amazing how many, you know, and I'm not overlooking that we've helped hundreds of thousands of people change their life. And to have a few, and it's okay, you get a few squeaky wheels, that's fine. I understand people were expecting something, but these very specific negative comments coming from this very specific area and individual, as we believe. And
well,
then,
we know who they are.
We know who they are, and our legal team is really, you know, doing the work. Because we said, you know, fine, fuck it. We're going to spend the money now to get this person, and then, you know, we'll take that, we'll escalate it to the next step, because it's bullshit. Can't allow that to do that. So what we ask you, our friends, our audience, if Living Lean book has helped you guys, please go on Amazon, take 30 seconds, and just give us that 5-star review, and give us a good report on what it is, and go and help, or click on somebody's comment that has helped you. I think Eric Delgado had a great one up there, that he has a high level
of people. We have so many fantastic people.
So that's all.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't really matter. The only things that matter to me are the people who we actually helped and the warmness of our fans, friends, and family surrounding us. And those are the only people whose opinions matter to me.
That's right. And you guys know we are here just trying to help you guys, help the world be better, to live better, and to extend that.
It's
you guys
conspiracy.
Know that.
It's a conspiracy. What are we watching? Some kind of like alien documentary? Oh, you know what book I'm reading?
Uh-oh.
Brad Thor's Hidden Order.
And this is actually a famous book. Since you bought it, I was like, what is this? Is this Thor? And now I see it everywhere.
Everywhere, right? It's on Audible.
Audible. Oh, is that...
That's my so slick transition.
I know. That wasn't very slick.
I'm horrible. God,
if you want to be like Brandy and listen to Brad...
Thor.
Brad Thor's, what's the name of it?
Hidden Order.
Hidden Order, which actually it seems to be a pretty good book.
It's pretty amazing. And here's the thing. I don't really like listen to or read books that are thrillers, but I read on the cover of the book this quote that said, people who think that there's nothing to fear but fear itself have never read Brad Thor. Now, that alone just made me say, yes, click, download, start listening to it. So if you guys want to do that too, or get any other book for free on Audible, just go to audiblepodcast.com/Dolce and your first download is free. So you have to go to that link though, audiblepodcast.com/Dolce and cash in on that.
And you guys know I've talked about Richest Man in Babylon multiple times. That is a book that will absolutely change your life if you heed the lessons. And the lessons are so obvious. It is such common sense, but it's common sense that has never been taught to you through school. So if you want to change your life and get your finances in order and start developing wealth, this is a technique that I used 15 years or so ago and never looked back. So go to audiblepodcast.com/Dolce and download any book you want. Whether it's Brad Thor's book.
Don't make fun of me.
I know, it's not, because I'll actually probably wind up listening to it also. Or Richest Man. I've listened to that, you know, 3 times in the last month during all my travels. It's just good stuff. So check out audiblepodcast.com/Dolce. We're super happy that they are a sponsor of the show and they help us so we can come on air and, you know, talk to you guys a little bit more. We have anything else going on?
Nope, that's it.
That's it, guys. I know we ran a little long today. Hopefully you appreciate it. And I've been out of town doing my thing, working with the military. I think I've done, you know, almost 30 military bases, 30 dates on military bases, trying to help our fine young men and women get healthy and get motivated and give them action steps that they can start immediately. And it's such a great experience. This last week, I was with Brian Stan and Carlos Condit. I'm with Rich Franklin quite a bit on these tours. I've been with Dominic Cruz and Johnny Hendricks and anybody else. has been on there. I think that's it so far, and looking forward to, you know, just more dates coming up. And that's due to the Air Force Reserve. So big shout out to the Air Force Reserves for bringing me in. And guys, we love you all. Thank you so much for the support. Remember, go to Amazon.com and give us a 5-star review. We will appreciate it. And let us know when you do, and we'll give you a shout out on the air, whatever we can do to help you guys in return. And that's it, Brandy.
That's it, Mike.
Hey, guys, remember, don't count calories. Make calories count. Boo!
The Mike Dolce Show. Pussycat!